We are glad that y'all are here today. We've got an exciting day planned, so let's get into it. Let's stand up together.
Failures I tried to would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness, it's been waiting for the cross. You have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be?
Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you've done for us so that we could be here in this moment. And I pray that we just wouldn't waste it, that we wouldn't waste all the things that you had to do, all the ways that you had to go before us, just for us to have this moment together with us, with you. We praise you for it. It's your name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to Whitestone again. If you're a guest today, It's going to be kind of an interesting, it's going to be different, but it's going to be good. You'll probably notice everybody in here is wearing name tags. You'll notice the tables and the balloons, and we're just going to have a good time getting to stir up some community in this place and getting to meet one another. And so we're excited. If you are a guest, I just would want to point you to the worship guide. There is a response card in there. You could tear that off, maybe fill that out. That would be a gift to us, and just drop it in one of those offering boxes. Let us know how we could pray for you, and we would be happy to do that. So they asked me to do announcements, and that's what I'm going to do. We're going to get back into it. Let's sing together.
My, the high.
of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who'd ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
build our lives on your love. We love you. Help us to love you more. It's in your sweet name.
Amen. You guys have a seat right where you are. If you guys are standing in the back and need seats, the front row on this side is, you can sit next to the preacher over here. Brock's over there. He's all by himself. Hey, welcome to a very special day at Whitestone. We're going to leave the lights off. Thanks, Rodney. We're going to leave the lights off today. Because I'm going to show you guys a couple of videos that are just incredibly special to me, that are going to kind of lead us to the jumping off point for this morning. But this is our small group kickoff Sunday. We've done this for like the last 4 years, and so you're going to hear just a little bit from me this morning, and then Brock's going to come up and he's going to give some instructions for the rest of the morning, and then I think you're going to enjoy it. Okay, so. I preached about community a couple of weeks ago when I finished up the Highlight Reel series. And so when Brock and I started talking about this, he said, hey, why don't you take a swing at this thing? Because this has been his deal every year so far. And so after you hear what I have to say, bro, you might not want me to do this again, okay? It's possible, okay? So there, that's where we're headed, okay? So as I begin today, let me make a disclaimer, especially because there's a couple of doctors in the house over here. I think I saw the Blackmans over here. Okay, so I'm going to talk some medical jargon. It might be over your head a little bit. Okay, so anyway, I am going to use a couple of my pet peeves this morning. Okay, and this is, if you know me, one of my pet peeves is people who complain all the time. I'm not talking about that today, but I just did because I said it. Okay, Jocelyn, you love me, don't you?
Yeah.
I love you too. I've never had you on the front row, though. We might need to... Okay. All right. So pharmaceutical commercials are a pet peeve of mine. Okay? And I'm going to use a couple of these things as an example of what I want to talk about this morning. But let me make this disclaimer. I am in no way trying to minimize the conditions which these drugs treat. Okay? And if you take one of these drugs, I hope it's working for you. Okay? After you hear what I have to say, maybe you might want to rethink. I don't know, but that's up to you. And I'm definitely not trying to minimize what you've walked through if this is a condition you struggle with. Okay, so the two conditions I'm going to... Well, the first one is smoking, okay? If we've got smokers in the house or ex-smokers in the house, this one's for you. I just want... Take a look at this. It's one of my...
Quit smoking with Chantix and support. Talk to your doctor about Chantix and a support plan that's right for you. Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, and suicidal thoughts or actions while taking or after stopping Chantix. If you notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, stop taking Chantix and call your doctor right away. Talk to your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems, which can get worse while taking Chantix. Some people can have allergic or serious skin reactions to Chantix, some of which can be life-threatening. If you notice swelling of face, mouth, throat, or a rash, stop taking Chantix and see your doctor right away. Tell your doctor which medicines you're taking, as they may work differently when you quit smoking. Chantix dosing may be different if you have kidney problems. The most common side effect is nausea. Patients also reported trouble sleeping and vivid, unusual, or strange dreams. Until you know how Chantix may affect you, use caution when driving or operating machinery. Chantix should not be taken with other quit smoking products.
The urges weren't like they used to be, and that helped me quit.
Talk to your doctor to find out if prescription Chantix is right for you.
Okay, I've got free samples of Chantix in the back. Yeah. I do not. That would be illegal. Let me recap, okay? That commercial is 81 seconds long, okay? The first 6 seconds of that commercial are incredibly positive, and this is where we meet Herb. And Herb, it said, quit smoking with Chantix and support. So it wasn't just Chantix, it was Chantix and support. And then the next 65 seconds of this commercial are about the awful side effects that can come along with this. And just to recap, change in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, suicidal thoughts and actions. For those with a history of depression or mental health problems, they may worsen while taking Chantix. Allergic or serious skin reactions, some life-threatening. Swelling of the face, mouth, throat, or a rash. It may affect how existing medications work in your system. You may have kidney problems. Nausea is the most common side effect. Trouble sleeping, vivid and unusual and strange dreams. I think I have those. And then be careful while driving or operating machinery. See, while all those possible outcomes are being spouted at us, this is what Herb does in the commercial. He smiles. He walks out of the house to the backyard. He sits down and pets a dog while talking to a lady who is presumably his wife. We don't know. He starts flipping through a book while the lady does all the work. And then, for the big finish, Herb speaks. And his speech, including a big pause in the middle, lasts all of 4 seconds. And he says, the urges weren't like they used to be, and it helped me quit. Not surprising, Herb. You were probably too sick to smoke. Seriously, this is on television advertising this product. How many of you unless you've taken it already and you're like Herb, want to go sign up for that? It helps with the urges. But you could die a million times over. Only 10 seconds of this whole advertisement for this drug are meant to help a person stop smoking. All the rest of it was just them covering their backside, right? I did a little more research. According to Fierce Pharma, which is a website that may or may not be reputable, I don't know. In 2013, this was 6 years ago, Pfister Company, which is the managing company for this drug, settled over 2,700 lawsuits and paid out $257 million to people, to families who jumped on this bandwagon that my family member had suicidal thoughts or actually committed suicide. The Pfister Company in 2013 had this to say. Chantix is an important FDA-approved medication and an effective treatment option for adult smokers who want to quit. Pfister said in a statement on the settlements as quoted by Alabama Live, smoking is the number one cause of preventable death in the United States, and the health benefits of quitting smoking are immediate and substantial. We are confident in the benefit-risk profile of this medication and are committed to defending it. That was like 6 years ago. 6 years later, they have a new spokesman. His name is Ray Liotta, and he says something like, "Hi, my name's Ray. I quit smoking with Chantix." You also see him on tequila commercials. I don't know if he's quit that or not. Here's my point. The things that we put our hope in, just for some veiled sense of hope, it's astounding to me. You know, the things that people will say, yeah, I'll sign up for that. It's just mind-boggling because this company is evidently still making enough money to be able to pay out $257 million 6 years ago and keep on going. That's one example. I have another one. See, that one's an addiction-based thing. Okay, so if you're a person in the room that doesn't struggle with addiction stuff, praise God for that. Okay, but I want to show you another one that might hit a lot more of you close to home because it's more about relationships. So take a look at this one.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go? Nowhere. Who do you feel like seeing? No one. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety. Cymbalta can help. Cymbalta is a prescription medication that treats many symptoms of depression. Tell your doctor right away if your depression worsens, you have unusual changes in behavior, or thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Cymbalta is not approved for children under 18. People taking MAOIs or thyroidazine or with uncontrolled glaucoma should not take Cymbalta. Taking it with NSAID pain relievers, aspirin, or blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Severe liver problems, some fatal, were reported. Signs include abdominal pain and yellowing of the skin or eyes. Talk with your doctor about your medicines, including those for migraine, or if you have high fever, confusion, and stiff muscles, to address a possible life-threatening condition. Tell your doctor about alcohol use, liver disease, and before you reduce or stop taking Cymbalta. Dizziness or fainting may occur upon standing. Ask your doctor about Cymbalta. Depression hurts. Cymbalta can help.
Okay. Let me recap. This commercial is about a minute and 15 seconds long. The first 18 seconds give us a description of depression. Where do you want to go when you're depressed? Nowhere. Who do you want to see when you're depressed? Nobody. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety. Guys, I see this as a pretty accurate description of the world in which we live. We spent a lot of time in the last 6 weeks or so talking about how anxiety and depression are affecting even our kids in the church. When we had the Back to School Sunday, countless kid after kid wrote something on their prayer request. I'm just nervous about school. I'm depressed about school. I'm anxious. Parents echoed those same things. Much of the discussion in the small group that I've led for the last year or so has centered around people walking through this thing. It's real. Can Cymbalta help? They say so. This is what they say. 5 seconds of good news buried in the middle of this commercial says this, and I quote, Cymbalta can help treat many symptoms of depression. It doesn't treat the cure of depression, but it can help with many of the symptoms. Guys, there are so many things in this world, and I'm not bashing the struggle. I don't know. But there's so many things that we run to treat symptoms of conditions without addressing the core cause of the condition. This is one of those drugs. And then it shifts for the next minute of the commercial and again tells us all the awful things that can happen by taking a risk to treat the symptoms. They say if your depression worsens when you start the drug or changes in behavior or thoughts of suicide, just know that Cymbalta can increase these. Bleeding risks, severe liver problems, sometimes fatal. Abdominal pain, yellowing of the skin, of the eyes, high fever, stiff muscles, confusion. These could all be symptoms of a potential life-threatening condition. I'm pretty sure I have that one because I'm confused all the time. Dizziness and fainting. And then the one that I really appreciate the most is, by the way, even if all these things are happening, do not stop taking this until your doctor says you can. This is the best they can do to put this drug out, to get people to buy it. And I'm just wondering, here's the question I ask myself when I see these things. Are all those dangers associated with the potential side effects of this drug worse than the condition that they're trying to treat? I mean, honestly, if they all happened, I think you would say yes, but for whatever reason, I think when people get to a point of desperation because they just want something to change, they're willing to take those risks for the possible benefit. Is that fair? And maybe you're one of these people that has tried that drug. I don't know, but the only reason I could think that you would want to take it is that your depression, your anxiety is so bad and you're so desperate for some relief that you're willing to take those risks. I think there's a deep spiritual truth and connection to what I'm talking about there, to what we're about to do here. Brock said, shared last Sunday night, we had our first annual leadership launch. And you guys stand in the back. There's plenty of seats on the front. Y'all can come in. You don't have to stand in the back. I promise. Or you can stand in the back. Whatever you want to do. It's about you. Our first annual leadership launch last Sunday night. And Brock just kind of shared some vision for what he wanted our church to look like moving forward. And he just asked the simple question, why do people come to church? And he kind of boiled it down to two things, looking for meaning and looking for connection, both to God and to other people. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good way to sum it up. And so as we're talking about an underlying condition that's prevalent in the church. I think one of those things is fear of community. Fear of letting people in. Isolation. Being alone in a big room. See, there are a lot of people in here, and there's pretty much the same number of chairs, but there's no bleachers in the back. So you guys are kind of, if you're being honest, some of you are sitting closer to people today than you really want to. It's like, wait a second, I'm used to having a three-chair buffer. I get that. I mean, for years, church growth people say, hey, when the room's 80% full, it's full. No more people are going to come in. And so we have this personal space issue. One of our key fundamental tenets or value statements here is we will not settle for cheap imitations of community. I think that is such a rich statement because we settle for cheap imitations of everything all the time. In community, if we can get together and we can be in a room where everybody seems joyful, then we're hoping some of that rubs off on us, but that's not real community. Our purpose statement for the small group ministry here at Whitestone is this: to connect people with the Word of God and to each other. The Word of God being God's Word, and then the capital W, the Word of God, is Jesus Christ Himself. That is the goal of why we're doing this today, where you're going to see all these tables set up, why people made food, why they're going to just invite you to come join them. And it's for this reason, in desperate times, we need strong biblical truth to stand on, and we need godly friends to stand with us. We need godly truth to stand on, and we need godly friends, people who know us, to stand with us. And if you've been involved in a small group and you've invested yourself in it, you've probably experienced this. You've probably experienced this. And see, here's my question. I was asking Brock earlier this week, what percentage of our church do we think actually is engaged in a small group? If you join Whitestone, it's one of the like four things in the membership covenant that you sign up for, saying, I'm going to be involved with a small group devoted to life change, built around the Word of God. And it's not just Whitestone. Churches all over America, the way America does church is we've defined it as this: the lights, the big room, the microphone, listening to the Word, hopefully getting some out of it, and then going away. And that is the end of the church experience for the vast majority of people who attend church in America. It's not that way all over the world, but here, that's the way it is. And my question is, why? It's like we're selling something that less than half of our people are buying. Like we're saying, we don't want to settle for cheap imitations of the community, but yet so many people in the church do. And my question to you today is why? Because this is why it's important. Real community, biblical community, does not just treat the symptoms of a condition. Yeah, there are a lot of great benefits. It doesn't just treat the symptoms, it points you to the cure. It points you to Jesus. That's why we make the Bible essential, biblical truth essential. It's not our opinion. It's not, well, how do you feel today? Well, I just want to empathize with. No, it's always pointing towards the cure, which is Jesus. And you don't get that by yourself. Because when we isolate ourselves, the enemy's voice is often the loudest voice we hear. And our voices of self-condemnation are some of the loudest. We need godly friends standing with us during those hard times to remind us of what's true about us and about God. See, here's my question. Why are people afraid to try small groups at church? I'd say there are a lot of reasons, but there's some of you, when we did not advertise this today. We talked about it last week, but we did not put it in social media today because we did not want some of you to see, oh, we're doing small group stuff, and decide not to come. That's a real thing. Last year at this event, one of the lowest attended events we did all year. Why? Because for whatever reason, people want their personal space and they want to go so far but not any farther. I tried to come up with just a few reasons that you might be afraid of a small group. First one is, your lives are too busy already. Anybody agree with that? I mean, how could you fit another thing in? I mean, my kids are on all these different sports teams. I've got all this difference. I mean, there's no more minutes in the day Our lives are too busy already. See, I think there are a lot of us that want more of Jesus, but we don't want to clear out any space for Him. This is an invitation today. Hey, there are some things in your life that may seem important to you, but you know they're not good for you. And maybe it's time to set some space aside for sacred things. Some of you just don't think you need it. You think, I'm doing okay, because you agree with yourself most of the time. And it's simpler that way. And so you just don't think that you need biblical community. And this is what I would say to you, if that is you. You think that because you've never experienced it. Because once you experience real community and locking arms with brothers and sisters and going through the fire together and coming out the other side, then you have no idea what you're missing. It's an investment. What's the difference between an investment and an expense? See, I'm a business major. An expense, you just pay it out and it's gone, right? But an investment yields return. And it bears fruit that gives back to your life. Real community does that. And then I think there are some of you guys that are just afraid of the possible side effects. If we were doing a small group commercial up there and we had a minute and 20 seconds, let me be honest with you, it would be tough for me to talk about small group, community groups, real Christian community, and spend all my time talking about the risks. There are some. What are the risks? You got to be willing to be authentic. Got to be willing to put yourself out there. You got to be willing to be rejected. Because why? Because our church people are mean? Well, maybe. But no, that's not the real reason. Because we're human. Any relationship that's not reciprocal becomes hurtful at some point. And I sense, I've been in church my whole life. Literally my whole life. Hadn't understood most of it most of the time, but I've been there. And I've spent my whole life surrounded by wounded church people. People have been wounded by something that they hadn't been able to let go, and so they use it as an excuse to just check it off, to mark it off, never doing that again. Guys, last week I talked about pressing on and forgetting the past and pressing on towards the goal. This is an opportunity for some of you to do that, to just say, hey, I know the risks. I know I might risk awkward conversations in the beginning with people I don't know. Well, guess how you get through that? By getting to know them. It's just like you parents, you know, when you send them off to kindergarten, unless you're a tharp and everybody comes in twos, you send your kid off alone and you're just praying, God, please let them have somebody to sit with at the lunch table. Let them make one friend. Gosh, as your pastor, as one of your shepherds here, I'm praying that for you. God, just let them find one friend that can relate to what they're going to in a way that I can't and Brock can't. You guys deserve that. But unless you're willing to put yourself out there towards it, you're not going to experience it. I could go on with all kinds of risks. But you need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Why have I not done this? And deal with it. Because it's not going to go away. It is a big deal. Community doesn't happen by sitting in a room like this. No matter how good the music, how solid the teaching, how good looking the pastor is, it's not going to get you community. So, I want to read a quote to you. This is from John Piper. And he's one of the pastors that I respect most in the world, simply because he's been at the place he's been for, like, since Methuselah was born. Okay, he's been there a long time at this little church in Minnesota. It's not a little church, it's a ginormous church. But they were having, he's an elder and he's a pastor at this church, and they were having some problems in the church. Just, it was specifically around church membership and baptism, which is, it's not a struggle we have here. But he made this statement in reference to a particular struggle, but there's so much wisdom in it. And this is what he said. It seems to me that what leaders should do at a point like this is to step back and try to get a big picture of life at this church. And with God's help, work on the issue not directly, but indirectly, by cultivating a process of life and living. By cultivating a process of life and living together, out of which, in ways we can't now imagine, perhaps wisdom will arise. And united conviction will happen. Wisdom will arise. United conviction will happen. And when I say cultivate a process of life, I don't mean a small procedure simply focused on the issue of baptism or church membership. I'm not talking about just treating the symptoms of whatever the problem looks like right now. I mean something much bigger. I mean the cultivation of a kind of relational culture at our church that is more intentionally and radically servant-like. Other-oriented, thoughtful, outgoing, humble, thankful, aggressively concerned and caring. Aggressively concerned and caring. When he said that, I had this picture of some of you moms. When you see like milk crusted on your kid's face, then you immediately do the mom lick on your thumb and you just reach over there and you start rubbing that stuff off. Aggressively caring. We need some people in this place aggressively caring for others. Moving into the lives of others rather than moving away. Moving into the lives of others rather than moving away. And committed to the hard work and sweet rewards of loving people in the church well. Guys, I want to join his church. I mean, I don't want to drive to Minneapolis and be there in the wintertime, but I want to be pastored by a guy that says, hey, no matter what's going on right now, the specific argument or disagreement, this is the culture that we want to cultivate in this place. And so here's my question. Are you guys willing to cultivate something that takes a while to get there? A process of living that leads you to real community? That points you to the cure? Guys, that's what we're offering. None of these small groups are perfect because there's people in them. But we have people who are saying, yeah, I don't know exactly how to do this, but I'm willing to open the doors and say, hey, come do life with me. And so I'm going to invite my brother Brock up here. And as he's coming, I just want to say there are success stories. Best thing I ever did was kicking Andy Coleman out of my small group. He was in my small group probably 15 years ago. Andy, you need to be leading a small group. He said, I don't want to do that. He always says that no matter what you ask him. I'll do it. He always does it. He always says, eh. His small group today is a beautiful picture of what life in the body is supposed to look like. Because community is built not on the mountaintops, but wading through the awful hurts and pains of life. And there are people in his small group right now that I'm sure would tell you, hey, we would be dead on the vine if it wasn't for the investment that group has made in our lives. Guys, that could be you. Listen to what Brock has to say and take it seriously.
If I could get the lights up, that'd be great. I just have some announcements that I want to share briefly, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction about how the rest of the day will go and a time of fellowship. And so let's do that. Thanks for being here. I'm glad that you're here, praying that you will see today as a divine appointment, that even if this is your first or second time visiting, who cares? Maybe God's got something. He has something for you today. As far as announcements go, a few things. First one, Street Hope, a representative from Street Hope will be here tonight at 6 o'clock to meet with our students. And this lady's going to give a special presentation called Navigating the Digital World for Youth. And the material will be sensitive and of a mature nature. If you need more information about that, you can talk to Jason Rich. He's got a handout. But the topic, very important, I think, and relevant for our young people today. That's tonight at 6. At the same time that is going on tonight at 6, we also are going to have a follow-up Holy Land Interest Meeting. The guy who leads those trips, his name is Dr. Tony Crisp. He will be here tonight at 6. And you can learn more information if you want to be a part of that trip. I think the plan is to take that in 2020. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. That'll be 2021. That'll be happening at the same time as the meeting for our students. Last thing as far as announcement goes, Claudia and Jason will be having a training for student and elementary Kids Rock leaders as soon as church is over today. About 15 minutes after, they provide sandwich lunch. And so that'll be happening right after the service this morning. Now for your instructions. We are about to dismiss this portion of the service, and we will move into a time of fellowship. And like Mark said, this is our fourth year of doing this, and so most of y'all probably know or are familiar with what we're doing. But all around the room, all of our adult small groups are represented, the small groups that are being kicked off in the fall. We also have a table for our volunteers to my far left and a table for our student small groups to my far right. Now, the way that the tables are ordered is they're ordered in the days that they meet. And so they start on Sundays, and they work the way from Sunday all the way around the room to over here. You will get to Saturdays. On every table, there's information about who that group is for, like the people, the age, or people they're trying to reach, as well as maybe some info about what they're studying, where they meet, and what time they meet. And the balloons that you see in the room, they signify if there's a blue balloon only, that means it's a men's group. If there's a pink balloon only, that means it's a female group. If it's blue and pink, I mean it can be couples or for either sex. And if there are orange balloons there, it means that child care will be provided. Okay? So as soon as we dismiss, there is no order in terms of where you go, and we would encourage you to visit every table, because on every table there's going to be some food, and there are also going to be tickets that you can use to win door prizes. And then at about 10 until 12, I will call out numbers and announce the winners of those door prizes. Again, even if they're not, if you don't think that particular group is for you, go, listen, learn about it. You might have a son or a daughter who would fit in that group, or another couple of friends that you think would be great. And so get information about all of those. That would be great. The group leader at every table is the person around with the lanyard around their neck. And so if you have any questions about that particular group, ask them and feel free to enter into conversation with them. And the last thing I got is, I am going to pray. Small group leaders, if you would, go ahead and get to your tables. And as soon as we finish, I've got some folks, some men who are prepared to clear the back two rows of chairs in the room to give us a little space to fellowship. And so if you've got like a purse or something on there and you want to hang on to that, just carry it with you, because they're going to be coming around and trying to take those chairs out pretty quick. And I will pray for us, and we will fellowship together. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy this time. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, kind of like what Mark's talking about, I look out at the scope of the world, and we've got a loneliness problem, and that's clear. People all the time on social media, but we're talking about a generation of folks who have never been so alone or never felt so alone. And God, I truly believe that the church has the cure for this, that connection with you and connection with fellow believers. I believe that that is the answer, but we've got to have people who are willing to say yes and to take risk. And like Mark was saying, have some awkward conversations, because that's the beginning of deep relationship. Sometimes it starts in the awkwardness before it gets to the depths. Lord, we love you. Move in the room today. I do pray for some divine appointments. I pray for some sweet conversations to take place that have been needing to happen for a long, long time. Let them happen right now in our midst. We love you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Thanks for being here.